I've always found it interesting that our fall took place in a garden, and the recovery from that fall, the beginning of it began in a garden, right? The Garden of Gethsemane. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I direct your mind, your thoughts, your affections to this dark night, this dark garden near the Mount of Olives. Reading from Luke 22, we read these words, "And Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" We know from the other accounts that this happened three times. We don't know how much time lapsed, but there seems to be a good amount of time between each prayer. The request, the silence from heaven, the request again, silence. But Luke tells us something that's very different from the other gospel writers. He tells us in verse 43, "And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." Can you imagine the sight of that? Imagine being tasked as that one angel to go and strengthen your Maker. To be strengthened by an angel, the one who brought all things into existence. All things were created by him, including the angels, and for him, to include the angels, as Colossians 1 tells us. And the only answer from heaven is not an audible voice from the Father saying, "Son, I'm pleased with you." All that happens is an angel appears, an angel from heaven, and strengthens him. Whatever that strengthening looked like or implied, we don't know, but it strengthened him. It allowed him, it prepared him for the task at hand. To strengthen something is to reinforce something, something that is about to fail, about to fall, about to crumble. And to strengthen it means you go in and reinforce it. You give it what it needs to move forward. And it's amazing that Christ, in his humanity, in all of his frail humanity at this point, as he contemplated the cup that was before him, the cup not only of our guilt and our sin, but the cup that would be poured out, that he would drink, that was the unmixed fury of God Almighty, the justice of God, the God that he had known as his Father from all eternity, about to drink that cup of suffering, that cup of anguish, that cup of agony. And as he contemplates it, it would have been absolutely blasphemous for him not to tremble, for him not to fear this cup, because he knows in all of his perfect knowledge exactly what he's about to endure. I mean, it's the fact that humanity is condemned for not fearing God. So had he come to this point and not feared God, he would just be like the rest of humanity, not fearing God. But yet he rightly understands what he's about to endure in the place of God's people as that shepherd that's to be stricken, according to Zechariah, stricken by God. Stricken by God. I once heard an old rabbi say something, who's a converted man, say that the first thing he wants to do when he gets to heaven is just look at the face of this angel who came down to strengthen the Lord. Can you imagine walking up to that angel and realizing you were the one who went down and strengthened him to move forward? I mean, I'm just reading the text. This omnipotent God in the flesh needed to be strengthened in his humanity. That's what we're reading here. Everything in him recoiled at the thought, at the reality of facing the fullness of God's judgment against sin, the fullness of God's anger towards sin from the days of Abel all the way to this present day. All the sins of his people about to feel the weight of that guilt, the weight of that bearing. And yet all that's answered is an angel from heaven to strengthen him. What a picture of humility on our Lord's part, that he would be willing to be strengthened by one of his creatures, that he would also be willing to be strengthened, we see in the company that he has, his disciples, to be with him in this last hours of his life. What a sign of meekness, of gentleness, of humility on our Lord's part, that he would have not only his people there, but one of his angels come and strengthen him for the work. Verse 44 goes on and says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose, he rose from prayer, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow." That's one thing the other accounts don't tell us, that they were sleeping for sorrow, just overwhelmed with sorrow. They had just sat through the upper room discourse, as theologians call it. They have just sat through that one of the, you know, Jesus telling them that one of them would go and sell him and betray him. Another one of them, the best of them, the closest of them, it's what seems like from the gospel accounts, is going to deny him, and not just once or twice, but three times. And then he's telling them that he's going away, and it's going to be beneficial for them that he's going away. And they have no idea what's about to happen. And so they're, and some of you have experienced this very thing. You're so overwhelmed with sorrow that the only logical thing to do is just to end the night and just go to bed and hope for something better the next morning. And so that's, these guys are just sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." It's from that point on that he regains that strength that he had before, that faith like flint that was facing towards Jerusalem, determined to go and to pour out his life for his people. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, I just invite you, as the people of God, those of you who were born again, believers, you're baptized in obedience to Christ, to come and in remembrance of him, thank God that in his weakness, he was willing to be strengthened by his very own creation in order to save us, in order to redeem us, in order to purify for himself a people for his own possession who were zealous for good works. I invite you up to the table.